Our Notre Dame home game Saturday continues with WSBT Game Day, live from Ivy Court Inn and Suites. Here is your host, Evan Sharpley.
And we're back. Brian Kelly and the Fighting Irish beat Boston College last week 49-20. And quarterback Brandon Winbush rushed for 270 yards and four touchdowns, both all-time single-game records for a quarterback. But tonight, the Irish head to East Lansing to take on the Mark D'Antonio-led Michigan State Spartans. Could this be a must-win game here in 2017? Kickoff is set for 8 p.m. For the next hour, I'm your host, Evan Sharpley, along with State Farm, my producer, State Farm agent, Tim Growl. And if this is your first time tuning in, this show is about setting the atmosphere, kind of giving you a feel for the game day experience. We talk with former Irish players. We discuss X's and O's. And today, we continue our tribute to Coach Ara Parseghian. Once again, we have the voice of the Fighting Irish, Don Crickey, at some point today, and also a former standout Irish wideout. Tim, yeah, that's great. You have a good week?
I'm doing really well. I had a really good week. How did that go watching that game last week with your daughter?
It was good.
Yeah?
Yeah, she was great.
Yeah?
She didn't really pay too close attention.
Yeah, you're real cool about it because you don't yell and get all, you know what? I actually didn't even have to text you during the game last week.
You were okay last week.
I was okay last week.
Even during the first couple quarters?
Yeah, tonight I don't know if I can say the same thing that's going to happen tonight.
I feel like people were trying, like it was burning in the first half because it was close.
Yeah, it was.
And then the floodgates kind of.
I was just pacing myself and trying to be calm.
Happy thoughts.
But tonight, you know, Michigan State's always full of surprises, not just the fact that D'Antonio might throw some trick play in there, but these games, looking back over doing some research, a lot of close games, including the years that you were on the Irish.
Yeah, and we brought this up yesterday on the Sean and Sharpley show of how many games Michigan State and Notre Dame have actually played. They played more games against each other than Michigan and Notre Dame have, and it's a series that's going to be going away for a while. Don't really know when it's going to be coming back in the near future here. So always a tough physical matchup. There's no love loss. There's a lot of bad blood. Playing in East Lansing, I wouldn't say the fans are very friendly when you go up there, but it's a great environment for a football game. Like when we played there in 06, I mean, you know, you felt like an enemy going into that, you know.
Sure.
I mean, it was, and at this point of the season too, you know, it might be good for Notre Dame to go on the road, really a true road environment, another business trip. That's what they did last week too. I thought that was good timing coming off of the Georgia loss, but you have another one now. It's not that far away of a road game, but you're going into a pretty hostile environment. So always tough, always physical.
You know, and I think our improved depth on team is going to be crucial tonight because they said it's still going to be in the 80s at game time tonight.
It's been really hot the past couple days.
So that's going to look good. We're going to play
Have you been staying hydrated?
I'm staying hydrated and stuff like that. I've got my water right here during the show and stuff too. So what do you say we get started?
Great. Well, we have a former Notre Dame Sports Information Director, Roger Valdeseri. We're going to talk about his friendship with Aaron and reminisce about the 1966 Game of the Century. Roger, how are you today?
Fine, thank you. Glad to be here.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking some time. We've been doing each week is giving a tribute to Coach Parseghian and the Notre Dame football players are doing the same. They've got air on the helmets, and you're seeing it everywhere around Notre Dame Stadium. If you could for us, what's one of your fondest memories of Coach Parseghian?
Oh, boy, that's difficult to pinpoint. I mean, there have been so many. You know, he was just such a competitor. That's how I define him. I mean, he was a real competitor, whether it was in handball or racquetball or golf. But football really, you know, defined him. His passion for the game and his preparation for each game. He was a great competitor. And that's what I think about him all the time.
Roger, you worked at Notre Dame for a long time, a very storied career. How did you initially meet Coach Parseghian?
Well, I was at Kansas City. I was the PR director for the Kansas City Chiefs. And Father George called me and offered me the job as sports information director at Notre Dame. And I flew back that day. No, I would have walked. But so that's how I came back to Notre Dame. an era invited me to dinner that night, along with the other assistant coaches. And so I decided to put a little humor into the dinner, and I kept saying, you cannot justify a full football scholarship in an academic community. I said, you're taking financial assistance away from regular students. Well, that shut them off. I mean, and it continued from there, you know, and I kept insisting, you cannot justify an athletic scholarship
this is
in an academic environment.
Excuse me. Sorry about that, Roger.
The next day, Johnny Ray, the assistant, said to Eric, my God, we can't even trust our own sports information director. but we had a lot of fun doing it.
You're listening to Game Day from the WSBT studios. Evan Sharpley, Tim Growl here with Roger Valdeseri, longtime Notre Dame sports information director. In doing some little research, Roger, I saw that you actually was a student secretary for Frank Leahy, and then you did some, I think, graduate assistant with Terry Brennan. So Leahy and Era, so any kind of similarities you saw for seeing both of those longtime coaches?
Well, they were different personalities, you know. Leahy was a taskmaster. He would walk into the office and everything would get quiet. He had such a presence. And Terry Brennan was a bright young man, came from Carmel High School in Chicago, where he won a couple of championships. Very bright. He had a law degree, and it was a great deal working for him and with him. But I enjoyed it very much, and I appreciate the fact that he got me involved and started in the Notre Dame athletic department post-game.
Roger, Notre Dame's playing Michigan State tonight. Take us back to 1966 in that game of the century.
Well, of course, everybody knows how competitive that was. The game ended in a tie. Era didn't go for the tie, which, you know, people misdiagnosed that thing. I mean, the game ended in a tie. I mean, Terry Hanratty, our quarterback, was out of the game. Nick Eddy never played in the game because he got hurt coming off the train and fell onto me, actually, coming down the stairs. And he hit the railing, the iron railing, with his shoulder. And so he was gone. Our center was gone. George Gedecky was hurt. And we had a 5'10 center with Bubba playing on his head, you know. So those were things that people don't realize. And the other thing I keep saying is, how did we get the ball? We got the ball because Duffy punted late in the game. Had he gone for it, maybe he could have kept the ball and run out the clock, or gone for a field goal. So there were a lot of misinterpretations about the game to begin with, and it was unfair that everybody kept saying that Era went for the tie. Well, he didn't go for the tie. The game ended in a tie. And the only play that people remember is the last play, and he had Coley O'Brien keep the ball because Era wasn't going to risk a turnover and a chance for Michigan State to kick a field goal. So, but it, you know, there were 600 credential applications for that game. During the week, we had press conferences every day. Michigan State had press conferences up there every day. So, and I kept saying that the atmosphere was not great for a college football game. It was too much. And it was going to get out of hand. So, but it was great to go through. It was a great experience. It was a great game. Michigan State went off to a 10-0 lead, and we caught up to them. So, all in all, it was a great football game.
This is WSBT's Game Day. We're with legendary Notre Dame Sports Information Director, Roger Valdeseri. Roger, I know you were still, you had long time, I think, weekly lunches with Era and stuff. And Evan and I were privileged enough a couple years ago to have him on the air. And I think it was 91. And he still remembered the play in 1964, the official, the play called, all the individuals. His mind was so sharp. So when you were still having these lunches, were you still talking about all these memories and different games and stuff, or was it more of a, like a social type of thing when you were together?
No, we talked about everything. We talked about football. We talked about politics. Yeah, you know, the thing, I asked him one time, I said, you're playing for a national championship, one game, national championship. What quarterback would you start? Coley O'Brien, Clemens, Hanratty, Theismann. What do you think his answer was?
No idea.
No idea either.
You don't want to hazard a guess?
Tom Clemens.
Pardon?
Tom Clemens for me.
No. You know what he said? Who are we playing?
Ah, see? Very astute.
I mean, it's a great reply. I mean, and that defined him as a football coach.
So did you give him an opponent then?
Pardon?
Did you give him an opponent to pick from then or what?
No. 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 No, that, his response ended. Yeah. How can you come back from that? I mean, but that... You know, again, that kind of response defined him as a football coach. I mean, he didn't leave anything to chance. But he was a great individual. He was one of the most disciplined and honest person I've ever met. And he was a joy to be around. And he was a joy to work with. And so, and, you know, I miss him as do all his friends. And this football season just sort of brings back all the tears.
Well, Roger, what's it like seeing, you know, seeing his name everywhere, you know, on games, on the helmets, on the uniforms? What's that been like so far for you?
Yeah, that's a great tribute. Great tribute.
Well, we're sure sorry for your loss. I know how close you were with him, and he's definitely an irreplaceable individual, not just a coach, just an individual. Everybody thought of him so highly.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and he was. And he, you know, he deserved that kind of respect because he was a great individual. Yeah, and as I said... I miss him, and so do all his friends.
Well, Roger, thank you so much for taking some time. We hope you're able to watch an Irish victory tonight. Good talking with you.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Roger.
Take care.
All right, thank you.
On your home for Notre Dame football, 96.1 FM WSBT, this is Game Day with Evan Sharpley. We'll be right back with 2006 Spartan Irish wide receiver Rimmer McKnight.
May I have your attention, please? This is Tim McCarthy for the Indiana State Police. You're listening to WSBT, your radio home for Notre Dame football.
Welcome back to the Game Day Show. I'm your host, Evan Sharpley, alongside my producer, State Farm agent Tim Growl, on your home for Fighting Irish Football, 96.1 FM, 960 AM, WSBT.
Hey, let me ask, I don't know if I ever asked you this, because the commercial...
Over all these years, you've never asked me?
Well, no. Did you ever, like, say when a game was out of hand, did you ever hear his calls for the safety?
Oh, we listen to it every time.
Did you? Even if it was a close game?
Yeah.
I don't
Have
know.
Have you seen my career stats? Come on.
Well, I know about your running stats.
Negative 94 yards. I had to look it up again.
You did?
Yeah, I mean, if you include sacks.
We haven't talked about it for about 3 years, and I was going to really run a new one, but
you probably went
farther down the charts.
I think I am. Well, yeah. If any of you read Eric Hansen's article this week in the South Bend Tribune, he interviewed Brady Quinn, a teammate of mine, a quarterback, talking about the psyche of Brandon Winbush and the struggles early to throw. But basically Brady said it could sometimes your biggest successes are after some failures.
Sure.
But I'm looking at it, I'm like, this man last week rushed for 207 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And so
nobody's cutting him any slack.
Combined right now, if you combine my stats and Brady's stats together,
you still did not rush him.
Brandon still has more yards than we do. And so Brady, he was like at 184 if you include the sacks, and I was at negative 94 with all the beating I took. So I mean, Brandon, he did 207 in one game.
So
come on now,
maybe our next guest listen to Tim McCarthy too, or maybe he was concentrating more.
Well,
on
he
football.
Was on the field. More
that's
than I was.
Right. So you can ask him along
We've
the way.
We've got a five-year
we'll
Irish outstanding Irish wide receiver, Raymond McKnight. Raymond, what's up, man? Good to talk to you.
Hey, happy to be asked to be on. That's how you guys doing, man?
Good. What are you up to these days? Fill us in.
I'm in construction now. I'm actually a project manager and chief estimator for a construction company, which is going very well. And then also, I've got my own football academy that I have. I'm working with the youth out in Orange County, California, and that's going very well.
How long have you been doing the camps?
I've been doing that camp for about on this level about 3 years now. But I've been, I'm always asked to come back and help some of the players, help some of the guys at local schools, and some of the junior colleges around there. So I've been active in football. Since I retired,
he's out in California too, Evan. I'm not sure if you knew that. So he's calling from California.
I am,
man.
Yeah.
Hey, I think it's hotter here. It's 93 out here right now.
Yeah.
is there anywhere that that people can get in touch if they want to help support those camps? Is there a website someone could go to? Something along those lines.
Yeah, the website is actually in the works right now, but I've got my Twitter account going. It's Rayma McKnight FB. Or at Rand McKnight FB, which is I'm usually active on that. Kind of took a break from it the last couple of months, just dealing with my twin daughters and focusing on work a little bit. But I'm going to be back active after the fall and get my academy going again, and hopefully be able to help the young kids.
Awesome, well, Raymond. How connected are you? Do you pay attention on Saturdays to the Fighting Irish?
I do. I've unfortunately had time on my schedule to watch the games this year, and I think we got a solid team. I think we got a really good team. Could be 3-0 if we pull that out against Georgia, but I think we got a really good team.
Talk to us a little bit about the wide receiving core. You got a kind of a marquee guy in Equanimeous St. Brown, and really through these first few games, it's been kind of an inconsistency in terms of the other pieces, and how difficult is it for guys that are part of that rotation that maybe, they don't know when they're going to play, because it's a fairly deep group of receivers with some talent. It's just been, there's been different starters every single game.
Exactly. I think we got a really good group of receivers. Obviously, I think I always struggle saying his first name, Aquinas. I think he's the leader of that group. And I think, again, as we get further into the season and get on the same page as Winbush, I really believe that receiving core will start to stand out a whole heck of a lot more as they go through the year.
Evan and Tim on WSBT's Game Day, continuing our conversation with Remy McKnight, who caught 15 touchdown passes in 2006 for the Irish. Boy, Evan, wouldn't we like somebody this year to catch 15 touchdown passes?
Maybe there'll be a few tonight.
What Maybe there will be. Hey,
Raymond, take us back to 06. I was on that team as well, and I was on the sideline during this game. The weather was not great.
the weather was horrible. Started out okay, and as we got to that second and third corner, the rain started to come down a little bit on us. But it was definitely a great game. Happy to be a part of it, and it was just a tough game. I mean, you play a team like Michigan State, you can never count those guys out. We were ranked, I believe, 12 at the time, if I'm not mistaken. So you know those guys were going to be coming after us. I mean, obviously they're a Notre Dame rival. And it was a hard-fought game. And fortunate enough for us, we made enough plays to come back the second half and pull it out.
You're modest because you had two touchdown catches in that game, and I was watching the film on those.
Now question yesterday. Was it? Did you go gloves on or gloves off? That's the big question in the rain.
You know, second half I went gloves off. I went gloves off. Sometimes those gloves can get a little slippery when they get wet, and I went gloves off. And regardless of the gloves or not, as a receiver, I trusted. I was very confident in my hands. So.
Was Michigan State one of those games every year, because you played 5 years, that you kind of, you know, circled or looked forward to, or how'd the coaching staff handle those games? Any differently?
In terms of weather, or?
No, just in terms of them being an opponent that, as Evan and I, nobody likes the Spartans, especially around here, too. So any special emphasis to go out and get them? Were you around when they planted the flag at Notre Dame?
I was. I was there the year before as well, which was very disrespectful. So we definitely took that game a lot more personal when you come into Notre Dame Stadium and disrespect in that way. But again, you know, but it's also fun too. It's a part of the competition, and it just gave us a little extra motivation to go out and play hard that game. So,
go ahead, bud.
No, I was just going to say, just in terms of that, I mean. Like every game Notre Dame plays, it's always a hard-fought game. Notre Dame is one of those schools that everybody loves to hate and they want to play against, you know. So, you know, we always come into every game with the same, you know, passion, same motivation to go out and win and dominate. And, you know, obviously the main goal is to get a national championship. So,
this is WSBT's Game Day, and we're joined by former Fighting Irish 5-year receiver Raymond McKnight. Ray, again, let's continue talking that 06 game. 05, they planted a flag. 06, we have the sideways rain. Michigan State's going to be off the schedule here. What are your thoughts on that? And you know, how does Notre Dame balance, you know, playing, adding some SEC schools over the next few years, a couple of other Big Ten teams, playing an ACC schedule? What do you think the toughest thing is, especially with a lot of these rivalries?
Well, it's unfortunate to see that rivalry be suspended or put on hold, because I feel like sometime in the near future they'll get them back on. But you know, it's unfortunate to see that rivalry go away for some time. And like I said, I mean, Notre Dame has what truly probably about four, you know, rivals, which would be USC being the number one, Michigan, Michigan State, and who was the other one? Who would you say the other one would be, Sharp?
I mean, you have,
well, at least those for now, yeah. But. I think with the addition of going to get some SEC schools and some ACC schools as well, I mean, I think it only adds to Notre Dame's long history of playing against the best schools throughout the country. So, and with that, you know, our main goal always, because we're not in the conference, is to win a national championship. So, I think adding those schools only helps add to our mystique, add to our courage to go against the best, and I know we'll continue to recruit the players that will put us in the best position to win.
Some of the discussion about last week's game or so far is Brandon's throwing, and Eric Hansen just did a recent article talking about the first few games and the starts of Brady and also Jimmy Clausen, and how basically the same way the first three games. Were you a receiver with Brady when he was first starting out too, and did you see those growth pains also working together?
Oh, yeah, we did. I remember Brady's first day coming in. He was He wasn't the Brady that we eventually got to see, you know, later in his career. Because Brady was great at the end of his career. And, you know, myself, Maurice Stovall, and then eventually Jeff Samardzija, you know, we definitely put in a lot of time working with him, you know, perfecting our craft, you know, working our rounds, and, you know, him working on him taking his proper steps and giving us the time that we needed to get open in our routes and get us the ball when we needed to. So, yeah, he definitely had a great progression, and he obviously ended his Notre Dame career on the right note and went out on top.
You played with a couple of really good quarterbacks, Brady. You've mentioned there's me, obviously, as well.
Right? Oh yeah, don't forget okay. Evan Sharpley.
And then, you know, in that light, what have you seen from Brandon so far this year through three games, and what are your expectations here for the rest of the season?
Well, I mean, obviously, the run game with him and Josh Adams, right?
Yes.
Yeah, with him and Adams back there controlling the ball in the run game, I mean, they've been very successful thus far. So I'm expecting we'll see a heavy dose of that. And just as the season goes along with practices and then getting more game experience, I really do believe Wimbush could be a complete quarterback by the end of this year and really make some noise against the teams we play. So.
We're speaking with former Notre Dame wide receiver Remo McKnight. Have you had a chance to get back to Notre Dame recently?
I have not. I'm hoping to be back here within the next few weeks, hopefully maybe for that USC game. But I've not been back in probably about two, three years maybe.
You're going to – Sharp's got to take you on a tour of at the new stadium and improve.
Always
and
building
like
stuff around here.
Yeah, it's that new stadium looks – pretty snazzy, I must say.
I would assume you probably would catch yourself looking up at the Jumbotron, smiling or something at yourself. I would assume that, right?
Probably, yeah.
So I don't know if you heard intro coming in. Tim McCarthy was one of our intros, and I was asking Evan if he actually paid attention or heard those type of Tim McCarthy safety directions in the game, expecting him to tell me that no, he's too busy in the game. He said, "Of course he recognized that and he listened to those." What about you?
You'd hear it on occasions, but if it were a game that we were blowing another team out, then yeah, you know, you'd hear Tim McCarthy there. But
you were concentrating, right? You were concentrating on the game, so you didn't hear. That's the answer I wanted to hear.
Right. yes, that is true. That is correct.
Well, hey, Rayma, before we let you go, give us a score prediction tonight, and then final kind of question is, do you think this is a must-win game for Brian Kelly and the Irish?
Well, I mean, all games are must-win, right? All games are a must-win for us. I really believe the Irish are going to pull this game out again. I think it's going to be a hard-fought game like it always is. I could see Michigan State trying to come out fast and come out hot, but I do believe Notre Dame is going to pull this game out. I would go with, if I had to predict the score, I think Notre Dame by 10.
All right. Well, Rayma, thank you so much for talking with us. If you do happen to come to the USC game, mm-hmm. make sure you stop by our tailgate. We have a live tailgate across from the Backer at Ivy Cordon and Suites. Lots of free barbecue. There's always a bunch of things going on. We'd love to have you.
I got you. Hey, guys, again, thank you so much for having me on. It's truly an honor to first of all, to be asked to come on your show, and then also just to be remembered, you know, for the things that I was able to do at the university. So, again, thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it.
Have a great day out there. This is WSBT's Game Day. Immediately following us will be Budweiser's Game Day Sports Beat. Then it's the official Notre Dame pregame show, and then the call of the game with the kickoff at 8:18, 8:17. They keep changing it. We'll be right back with more football talk and the voice of the Irish, Don Crickey, on Michiana Sports Leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT.
This is former tight end Robin Weber. My job was to catch footballs. Yours is to catch every Notre Dame game right here on your home for Fighting Irish football, WSBT.
Welcome back to the Game Day Show. I'm your host, Evan Sharpley, along with my producer, Tim Growl, and your home for Fighting Irish Football, 96.1 FM, 960 AM, WSBT. And we're counting down to kickoff. Notre Dame against Michigan State in what could be a must win after a loss to Georgia early on in the season. The schedule just keeps looking tougher and tougher as this year goes on. NC State with a big win today.
Yeah, I was watching that today, and they look like a tough team.
That'll follow USC, which USC is always a tough matchup.
We should beat Miami Ohio next week, but MAC teams are tough.
Yeah, well, Western Michigan played Michigan State tough and played USC tough earlier this year, too.
Yeah, yeah. No gimmies this year.
I don't think there's any gimmies in college football.
No, not
any. You got to show up. Who knows how a college student's going to wake up on a Saturday morning and how they're going to feel.
Look at Florida State. I mean, they're picked number two in the country, lose their quarterback, and then they have two games postponed because of Hurricane, and now they're 1-1.
Right. No, aren't they 0-2?
Oh, 0-2.
They lost to Clemson.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. Oh, geez. That's even worse than I thought. So let's talk about the state of college football. And I think he's in the booth at East Lansing right now.
Yeah, we've got a report from East Lansing and discussing all things Irish. We've got the voice of the Fighting Irish, Don Crickey. Don, how are you today?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I am indeed high up on Spartan Stadium. 95 degrees here.
I was going to say, is the air conditioning on in the booth there for you?
It's on, our producer, Bill Carambellis, was looking for a jacket. That's how good he is.
So 95 degrees, what are they saying? Is it going to be a hot one throughout the four quarters?
Well, this is the interesting thing, that they're talking about it dropping into the mid-60s. So that would be a 30-degree drop, but apparently it's a very strange weather pattern. It is a record-setting temperature the last 2 days, though. Yesterday's temperature, the last time anybody was higher in this area that recorded it, it was in 1936, it's very unusual. But, you know, Notre Dame plays a big rotation of players, particularly on the defensive side, 24 a game, rotate. And that's good on a night like tonight, because Michigan State, like I guess everybody in college football now, likes to run a lot of plays.
Does Michigan State rotate a lot? They did have some off-season problems. Depth was certainly a question going in. They've only played two games, coming off a bye. What does their rotation look like in a game that is obviously very physical at the line of scrimmage?
Well, I think they have, you know, as you mentioned, you're talking about the Mid-America Conference, the mid-level teams. They've beaten Bowling Green and Western Michigan, but pretty good football teams. They aren't real deep. No, they did lose players to suspensions and to expulsions. Lost some to, you know, graduation. I think the big matchup here to watch is their offensive line against Notre Dame's defensive line. Notre Dame's getting pressure with four guys. Now, this is the same guys who were part of a very bad defense last year. That's how good Coach Mike Elston have been, getting that front four cooking. And I think a most significant stat about Michigan State's play in the first two games, they didn't play last week. The better to get ready for Notre Dame, they had a bye week. But they have given up 17 tackles for losses against the two Mid-America opponents. That's not good when you're playing Notre Dame. I would think Notre Dame's going to get at least 10 tackles for losses tonight. Their defense will.
And tackles for loss for Notre Dame it's been night and day compared to a year ago, and that's been one signature of the Mike Elko defense has been tackles for loss, turnovers, and high rates of percentage getting off the field on third down. All of those areas, obviously huge keys in a game like this.
Absolutely they are. I think they're most significant. Ken, Michigan State has always been a good defensive team, particularly against the run. They were 84th in pass defense last year, Michigan State. But the run defense under D'Antonio is always good. And can Notre Dame run on them? I think Notre Dame's offensive line is something that really explodes late in the third quarter. I mean, they wear people out. It's like Boston College was right in the game. And then, you know, Notre Dame just overpowered them. And we'll see if they can do that tonight against Michigan State. But they've got good players on the defensive side against Michigan State.
Don, back to the offensive side for Michigan State in that battle. Brian Allen's a very talented center for the Spartans. Talk to us a little bit about the three running backs that we'll see tonight for the Spartans.
Well, we'll see L.J. Scott. He's been their go-to runner. Not doing a lot this year, though, Evan. He's 33 carries for 3.8 per carry. Last year, he was about 900 yards for the season. Gerald Holmes, the number two back, the guy Notre Dame will be looking out for. Last year, you may remember, Gerald Holmes broke a 73-yard touchdown run against Notre Dame. Then their third back is Madre London. They're all big guys, all around 230, so they pretty much have the same type of runners. They don't go to any super speed, smaller backs. We'll see what they can do. You know, their offensive line has some new people. I don't think it's a great offensive line at this point. Maybe it'll develop into one. But I'm just very, very impressed with Notre Dame's defense and the coaching job being done by the defensive coaches. Phenomenal.
WSBT's Game Day Show. We're talking Indy MSU football with the voice of the Fighting Irish, Don Crickey. Don, you've watched a lot of these games over the years, too, and D'Antonio's always good for a trick play here or there. Plus, he's had an extra week to get ready for this game. So, is that you think's in his bag again tonight? You're going to be looking at one of those?
Oh, I don't think there's any question that'll be the case tonight. He's got something in there. We called it one game here not that long ago when he ran that trick play for a touchdown in overtime to beat Notre Dame. But Brian Kelly knows what he's going to do. He doesn't know when he's going to run it. So I think, the base, when you're expecting anything down close to your goal line, kind of a trick play, you've got to play zone. You've got to really just cordon off the field so that nothing gets by you. And we'll see what Notre Dame does. But there's going to be trick plays, and there's going to be by Notre Dame also.
Don, here, Notre Dame right now is sitting at 2-1, a tough schedule to finish this season. We've been asking and kind of discussing on at this point, at this juncture, is this a must win on the road for Notre Dame? If they move to 2-2, and looking forward, you've got Miami of Ohio, you've got UNC, then you've got USC, NC State moving forward. It's easy to say, yeah, every game you would like to win, but is this a must win right now for this program and where they are early in the season?
Well, it's tough for me to label anything a must win unless it knocks you out of contention completely. I think it's the most important game. Absolutely, they have to win. I think Michigan State, they have to win. They really haven't. I know they want. Here's how bad they want to beat Notre Dame. They played two MAC conference teams, then had a bye week before they play Notre Dame. So they haven't been anybody close to a Georgia defense. So we'll see how they handle Notre Dame. But I think there's a growing confidence on this Notre Dame team. I mean, we know from New Jersey what the Notre Dame quarterback can do, Brandon Wimbush. Some people in coaching in New Jersey think he's the greatest offensive player ever to come out of the state in high school. Now, he's not throwing the ball well, having a bad game through 2.5 quarters, and what does he do? He personally takes over the game against Boston College. Broke that 49-yard run, and that was the difference in the whole game. Everything opened up after that. So he's going to throw tonight. I think we can look for, just out of common sense, that Michigan State's going to pack the front with 8 guys and dare him to throw, and he's going to do it. I'm waiting to see if Jefferson's in the field tonight. He's been practicing. Has anything been announced today about whether or not he's going to be active?
I think he's going
to be in uniform.
Yeah, we haven't seen anything. I know his snap count has gone up quite a bit over the past couple of weeks, and Brian Kelly didn't say yay or nay as to whether he'd be playing, but he is, his reps have increased. He's been part of, the first team, second team reps. So I think that, I think in preparation for him to begin to play. I don't know if it's going to be this game. I think the general consensus is next week against Miami of Ohio.
Okay, well, if he does play, he gives Notre Dame a second get-behind safety speed receiver along with St. Brown. I think it's very important, but we'll have to see on that. But Notre Dame's going to go through a lot of new things. They did a lot of self-scouting for this game, as they always do. I think they're very prepared, Notre Dame. And, when you talk about the games ahead and looking, one of the greatest coaches, some would argue the greatest coach, was Vince Lombardi of Green Bay Packers. And his axiom of football that he preached to his team all the time is there's no next game. There's no next quarter. Well, there is your assignment on the next snap of the ball, the next play. You win championships by each of you winning your assignment play after play. And that's where you have to look at it. There's going to be upsets in college football today. There certainly was one in Florida State. You can't look ahead. You can't look back. These teams are too good. They prepare too hard. And all the Michigan State players are talking about the emotional motivation for playing Notre Dame. It's huge for all these guys. It's a big, big game for them. It's right up there with playing Michigan.
Evan and Tim getting ready for today's game with Hall of Fame broadcaster Don Crickey. Hey, Don, we always like to talk memories, too. And you were there for that 2006 game when we were just talking to Rema McKnight from that. What kind of memories do you have from that game, especially calling it when they were so far down? Did you even think there was a chance that Notre Dame was going to come back in that game?
No, it was a great comeback. It certainly was. That was 11 years ago now. But, players have changed. Coaches have changed. A lot of things have changed. And really, it, once again, you get right down to, what's tonight? What are these matchups like? I'm going to put a guy in here for a second you might want to hear a word from who I think knows a lot about football and running the ball.
gentleman named Mr. Alan Pinkett.
Alan, thanks.
This is Alan. How are you?
Hey, good. Alan.
Thanks, Alan. Yeah, talk to us about this Notre Dame rushing attack. Josh Adams has been the workhorse. Brandon Winbush has actually carried the ball quite a few times. What have you seen so far from Adams and this Irish rushing attack, especially against Temple, against Boston College? Maybe what was the missing piece against a good Georgia defense?
You know, they all run hard, and it almost looked like Georgia had, you know, maybe overpowered them. But upon further review, they missed a lot of assignments. And that was the first time they had ever seen a defense that fast. And so I think it was really to their benefit, because now, you know, seeing it at game speed as opposed to what the scout team showed them, they're able to make the adjustments that they need to make. And they know that at any point they can impose their will on another defense. But I think Josh made a step last week, which let me know that he's in good health, because he just seemed like he had more of a burst last week when he ran. There were a couple instances where he had to step on the accelerator and really use his speed. But I think each back, and I include the quarterback in that, has a different style that really puts stress on any opposing defense.
Josh is he's been close to 19 or 20 carries in every game. Do you think there's a discussion for the longevity of this season, perhaps to get a guy like Dexter Williams some more carries here, especially early on in some of these games?
No, because the ball ain't heavy. You know, so if you can get it 20 times, 30 times, 40 times, ball ain't heavy. And, you know, it's one of those things where the more you carry it, the more you get acclimated, the more the game slows down. And, you know, with the conditioning program that they have here now, they actually gain strength during the game. They don't get tired.
And a guy like Dexter, though, you said, you know, he brings some different things to the field. Do you think that the offense, do they want to balance that out a little bit more? They've struggled to pass the ball, perhaps doing some two running back sets, things like that, to maybe switch things up a little bit?
Well, I mean, I would like to see Dexter more. You know, I think he's another dynamic runner. And it's one of those deals where a defense will get used to the speed of one running back, and then another running back comes in and takes that same pursuit angle, and they don't catch it as a running back. So, I mean, I was being, you know, I was joking a little bit about the ball ain't heavy, but it ain't heavy. But I would love to see Dexter involved in the running game a lot more, because it'll keep teams off balance. And I think he's earned the right to go in. And in fact, right now, he's the one with the best yards per carry average. What's he doing? Only 14.5 a carry. So, yeah, I think I want to give that call to him.
Evan and Tim on game day, WSBT game day, talking with former All-American running back Alan Pinkett. Alan, as we close up this interview, so give us a synopsis of how you think it's going to be in the fourth quarter and what your prediction for the score.
Well, this being the 79th meeting, there's so much tradition. And it's interesting how, you know, both these teams had great expectations for last year, and they go 3-9, Notre Dame goes 4-8. So looking at the sort of a bounce back year, and you know it's always going to be a physical matchup. I think that by the time you get to the fourth quarter, the team that has dominated the line of scrimmage and can run the ball effectively and hasn't made a ton of turnovers is a team that's going to win.
You have a final score for us?
Oh, a final score? Yeah, I love giving scores because I don't have to be accountable for the score.
Exactly.
You know, but I sort of see this as a, you know, Michigan State's tough to defense. They haven't given up an offensive touchdown yet. You know, but, you know, I think there's some areas where Notre Dame has an opportunity to you know, really expose some areas. So I'm going to be conservative and say 31-13.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Alan. Enjoy the game tonight and go Irish.
All right, go Irish.
The Game Day Show is brought to you by Budweiser and United Beverage, Carmella's at McCree's, Creative Colors International, Food Bank of Northern Indiana, and Hearth and Home. When we come back, we'll close up. We'll give some keys to the game. You're listening to your home for Fighting Irish Football, 96.1 FM, 960 AM, WSBT.
Game Day Show is brought to you by Kurt Outdoor Living, LKQ Pick Your Part, and Zollman's Tire and Auto. I'm your host, Evan Sharpley, with Tim Growl. We've been talking Notre Dame football. We've had legendary sports information director Roger Valdeseri. We had Raymond McKnight talking about the 2006 Notre Dame-Michigan State game. And we just had Don Kricke and Alan Pinkett. I think we're ready to go.
Hey, I think, you know what? We got people from past, present, and future and stuff going on basically and stuff too. So let's get the keys to ensure an Irish victory.
Well, this is going to be very much coach speak, and that's okay because it's one of those games. It's a close game, at least how I see it. It's going to start with stopping the Spartan rushing attack. We talked about their three running backs that they have that are very talented. And then pressuring quarterback Brian Lewerke. I think if they try to make this a one-dimensional game, if Notre Dame can control the line of scrimmage, they're going to have a lot of success. One thing we've seen from Mike Elko, he does a great job of making adjustments at halftime. This defense comes out in the third and the fourth quarter, and they're playing the best football. On offense, you know, you want to see some balance and some efficiency. What I'm going to say is whatever you got to do to win, if you got to run for 270 yards, do it. If you have to pass for that much, you're going to have to be able to figure that out as well. Winbush, I think you want to see him use both his legs and his arm. I don't think that it has to be one or the other, but of course, as this season progresses, you would love to have efficiency. If you have a guy who can run for 207 yards, you know, you that talent is obvious, but you want to balance it out.
They're going to force him to pass, though, correct?
Well, I would assume so. It's that type of game. You know, it's that type of game. You want to take that out. But if they are going to play some man coverage, there might be some options for Brandon Winbush to run. Although you might see a spy on him as a runner here. And then lastly, you look at the turnover margin in a close game like this, or special teams, who's creating some turnovers. Notre Dame's defense has done a great job over the past three games in being able to do that. That's one area I'm going to look to again tonight.
So, what do you think for a score? We had to pry it out of Allen.
I've got a close one. I've got Notre Dame winning. I've got a 31-27 victory. I think it's going to be close, though.
Special teams?
Special teams and turnovers are going to be my two areas I'm going to look for.
Well, I'll be watching those. And like I said, maybe it'll be a good game and I won't have to text you or jump off the diving board or something. This has been Game Day with Evan Sharpley. We want to thank our guests, as Evan said, Roger Valdeseri, Rim McKnight, and Don Kricke and Alan Pinkett. A big thank you to our in-studio board operator, Matt Embry, for keeping the show going. Plan to join us next week. We'll be on at 1 p.m. and we are back at the Ivy Court Inn and Suites. We'll be outside for the show. Come by and enjoy some delicious Fisher's Tips and Chips barbecue as we get you ready for the Miami of Ohio game. You don't need to go anywhere for the next 8 hours or more as we go into the wee hours of the morning with WSBT's Fighting Irish football coverage. Right after the news, it's Darren, Sean, and Eric with their analysis and previewing today's game on Budweiser's Game Day Sports Beat. Immediately following them, it'll be the official Notre Dame pregame show. Then it's kickoff at just after 8:17 with Don Kricke and Alan Pinkett on the IMG Network. Stay with WSBT after the game for the official Notre Dame postgame show with Darren Pritchett and Reggie Brooks. As I say, into the wee hours of Sunday. All this on your home for Fighting Irish football, 96.1 FM WSBT. For Evan Sharpley, this is Tim Growl.
Go Irish!